Thank you for listening to this sermon from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We hope you enjoy the teaching of Dr. David Rogers, lead pastor of Arapahoe Road. For more information about our church and its ministries, please visit arapahoeroad.org. And now, here's Pastor David Rogers.
This morning, we're continuing in our series that we've been in called The Nine. We're looking at the nine virtues, the nine traits, the nine fruits of the Spirit of God that God wants to grow in our lives by His Holy Spirit. And these nine virtues, they really are intended to help take our relationships to the next level. These nine virtues or traits, they're found over in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. It's on page 975 if you wanted to open the Bible in the row in front of you. If you didn't bring your own Bible, turn with me over to Galatians 5. Let's look at these words again, these nine traits that the Apostle Paul writes about. As you're turning to Galatians chapter 5, I want to just say thanks again to our friends over at Lake Point, to Micah Davidson, their teaching pastor over there, for sharing this series with us. It certainly has been an encouragement to me. It's helped me think about these different virtues that the Lord is growing in my life and in our family's life. And I hope it's been an encouragement to you. If you don't have a Bible when you're finished this morning, come see me in the Home Life Center, and I'll give you a Bible that you can take with you and call your very own. Look what the Scripture says, Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." That's the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And today we're going to look at that virtue of faithfulness. And whether we realize it or not, our relationships really need this expression of the Holy Spirit called faithfulness if they're going to be all that God wants them to be. Faithfulness is not only something that we need, it's also something that's not just going to be produced in one day. You don't just wake up and all of a sudden, there you go, faithfulness, fully grown and formed in your life, in your relationships. Faithfulness, the word actually means to be trusted over a long period of time until you become trustworthy. To be trusted over a long period of time until you become trustworthy. Faithfulness. It inspires us. It encourages us when we see it demonstrated in other people, in other relationships. For instance, when people stay married in their marriage and they stay faithful to one another, just it gives encouragement. It inspires others to go, man, we can do that. We can hang in there over this long period of time until there's a deep trustworthiness. There's a deep faithfulness. The day that I was actually writing this message, I met with Carol and Carolyn Stewart. We set up a time, and they came to my office, and we were talking. And during the course of our conversation, as it kind of wrapped up, I asked them. I said, "Guys, how long have y'all been married?" And they said, 55 years." I was like, "Wow, 55 years!" And we wrapped our time, and we were walking down the hall. I ran into another one of our church members, Nelva Underwood, and I said, "Nelva, how long have you and Pete been married?" She said, "55 years." True story. I was like, wow, 55 and 55, man. How about that in the same hallway? And one of the great things about faithfulness is that those 55 years started with very small steps. And before they got to 55 years, they got to 55 days. And then they got to 55 weeks. And then 55 months, and man, decades of faithfully stepping forward. Not perfect, right? Right? Yeah. But just faithful, trustworthy over a long period of time. Over a half a century of faithfulness. It can be done. It is being done. And we celebrate those faithful marriages. Man, I want to be in there for 55 years plus. And it's not going to happen tomorrow or next week. It's going to be lots of little steps, day after day after day. That inspires me. I hope it inspires you. I know that's what God wants for all of our lives, for all of our relationships. And the good news for us today is that Jesus tells us that faithfulness starts with very small steps. Turn over 100 pages to Luke chapter 16, the Gospel of Luke chapter 16, verse 10. I want to show you just really one verse here. We'll look at one other verse a little later, but I really want you to zero in on what Jesus is saying about small steps of faithfulness in Luke 16, verse 10. In Luke 16, Jesus is given a powerful discourse about those who are listening to him teach, and within that passage we find a really powerful teaching about living lives of faithfulness. Look with me at what Jesus says in Luke 16, verse 10. Jesus says, look how it starts off. One who is what? Faithful. One who is faithful in very little. Read that, little steps. One who's faithful in very little is also faithful in much. And one who's dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. One verse there about faithfulness that I really want us to hang on to this morning. See, if you want faithfulness in your life, then I'm going to encourage you to make two decisions today that are going to be very practical to see faithfulness growing in your everyday lives as you choose to cooperate with the Holy Spirit who is at work in your life. You may not really see that or think about that all day, but if you're a follower of Jesus, the Holy Spirit of God is at work in your life. And one of the ways he's working in your life is to produce the virtue of faithfulness. So if you want to join God and cooperate with God in that work that he's doing, I invite you to make two decisions today. The first one is this. Number one, make a commitment to God's standard. Make a commitment to God's standard. Can we just take an out loud note together on three? One, two, three. Make a commitment to God's standard. See, God's standard of faithfulness, you're going, I'm committing that to be my standard. I'm not going to superimpose my own standard, but God, I'm going to commit to your standard when it comes to faithfulness. Jesus starts off in verse 10 that we just read a moment ago about one who is faithful. And that's the part of the standard that, man, we want to just take the arrow in our life, boom, and shoot for, aim for. The standard of faithfulness, one who is faithful. Man, what would it look like for you to begin to aim for faithfulness in your life? Aim for faithfulness in your relationships. Aim for faithfulness as you serve Jesus, as you follow through on commitments that you've made in prior days to go, yes, I'm going to recalibrate, boom, and shoot toward the bullseye of faithfulness. Kids, draw me a picture this morning of you with your bow and arrow, okay, in your life, and you're shooting towards a target, and draw a bullseye, and in the middle of that bullseye, just write the letter F to remind you you're shooting for faithfulness this week. You're aiming for faithfulness. What would that look like? You, with your bow and arrow, drawing back and aiming for faithfulness. And I get some great pictures each week, by the way. There's some real artists that are emerging from these pews week after week. I'm so impressed with your artwork. When you're finished this morning, put it on my board out in the Home Life Center. I want to see what you think faithfulness looks like when you're aiming for it. As some art is being created right now, raise your hand if you've ever been to a wedding. You ever been to a wedding before? I've been to a wedding. More than my share, fair share in ministry. You go to a lot of weddings. And you know, I was thinking about that the other day. I don't think I've ever been to a wedding and seen the bride come walking down the aisle and had this thought. I don't think that any bride has ever walked down the aisle going, I bet this doesn't really end well. you know, I'm going to give us 6 months. No, I don't think that's happened. I don't think any bride's going, I'm probably walking toward divorce rather than till death do us part. No. See, at most weddings, there's hope. There's promise. There's the future. That this is going to last forever. We're going to be faithful to each other. In fact, man, you're walking down and that person's going, man, I'm about to take Beyonce's advice and put a ring on it. This is really happening. Or some of my friends call her Bay once. You'll get that later. B-E-Y-O-N-C-E, Bay once, Beyonce. Somebody out of my bill just got that. It's like, oh, Bay once. Then what happens? Life gets difficult, doesn't it? Stuff happens. Communication gets knotted up. It's not as easy as we thought it was going to be. Now, let me just tell you, the intent of this message is not to poke in a wounded place in your life. It's really not. To poke into your past where maybe unfaithfulness has been present. I'm not saying these things to try and make you feel guilty. I'm not trying to dogpile on you or kick you as you come to church. You know, oh man, I can't get away from this thing. All you want to do is keep dredging up the past. No. I'm saying these things to remind us of something. That God's standard is faithfulness. And what Jesus said in Luke 16, verse 10, is that if you're going to follow faithfulness, you're following a good road. Your life, if you choose to be unfaithful, is going to be a rocky road. And I'm not talking ice cream. That'd be nice, but it's not. It's a rocky road of difficulty and of pain and a path that's just going to have a lot of stuff in it that's very likely going to lead you toward a dead end. But if you've walked that rocky road, it can be overcome. It can be overcome with grace, with mercy, with truth and honesty, with a lot of hard work. Sometimes you can overcome that. Not all the times, but sometimes. And some of you may need to just hear that there is hope if there's been unfaithfulness. But man, faithfulness is just a much better, it's a much clearer, it's a much straighter path to take. I mean, if you want to win in life, if you want to win in relationships, then shoot for the standard of faithfulness. If you don't, you're not going to win in the end. You just won't. It's not going to go well for you if you walk the path of unfaithfulness in your relationships. Why do I say that? Because of what unfaithfulness tends to produce. Unfaithfulness leads to fear in our lives. It leads to us having anxiety in our lives, anguish and guilt, secrecy, which just is so exhausting. Allison and I tease sometimes, we're not going to have an affair. One, because we love each other like crazy and we're committed to one another till death do us part, but it just would be so exhausting and so expensive to have one. We'll play the hand we've been dealt. We'll hold that hand and we'll keep walking forward. Why is it that you want to not walk the road of unfaithfulness? Because it was never intended to be God's standard. That's why, at the end of the day, it's not about our exhaustion or legal bills for a divorce attorney. It's about what God knows is best for us. Faithfulness is God's standard for all our relationships. And so my question for you, my question for me, my question for us to consider today is this. Is faithfulness a description of your life? Is faithfulness a description of my life? Faithful, responsible, trustworthy. And unfortunately, the reality is this. When it comes to faithfulness, we've all blown it at one point or another. I'm not talking we've all had an affair with somebody else if we're married necessarily, but think of it like this. Broaden that a little bit. We've all had those moments in our lives when people have counted on us and we didn't come through. People have shown up and we said we'd be there and we didn't show up. Or we didn't say this, or we didn't do that, or we did do something, or we did say something, and there was a faithfulness that was not kept in that moment. And we're thinking about that, and maybe some things are kind of beginning to rise in us, and we're going, man, I haven't been faithful, so what am I supposed to do with that? Thanks for bringing that up, Pastor. What am I supposed to do? Well, in those moments, those times in life when I haven't been faithful in something, a situation, a relationship, I've let somebody down, it's usually because I've been trying to do something in my own power, in my own strength. I haven't stopped to really pray or seek the Lord and ask Him to be faithful in my life and through my life. I just forgot. I got too busy. There were too many plates spinning, and I just were trying to keep it all spinning, and through all that, I let somebody down so that He could be faithful through me. So what do you do when you blow it? When what do you do when you've not been responsible? You hadn't been trustworthy. You haven't been faithful. I suggest you keep going back to Scripture. That's always going to be my suggestion, by the way. Just keep going back. What did God say? The faithful one. And here's what God says through His word in 1 John 1:9. This is a great scripture to remember and a great scripture to memorize, especially when you haven't been faithful. Look what 1 John 1:9 says. It says, if we confess our sins, He, Jesus Christ, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Man, what a great truth to hold on to recalibrate our lives, to aim for. I love this. It says, Jesus is faithful. Faithfulness always begins and ends with Jesus. Amen. Always. God is at the root of all of our faithfulness. And His faithfulness is willing and able to forgive us of all our sins, including us not being faithful. Forgive us our sins. That word for sins here in that scripture, the Greek word harmatia. Harmatia means to miss the mark, to miss the bullseye that you're aiming for. That's what sins mean, to miss the mark. And there are times in all of our lives when we miss the mark, just like the archer misses the mark when he or she is shooting those arrows toward the bullseye. We're not perfect when it comes to what we're aiming for, our faithfulness. We miss the mark. We do sin. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Another way to translate that is, all of us have shot toward faithfulness and totally missed the bullseye. We've missed the mark. What does that mean? We missed the mark. We sin means we let people down. We let God down. And yet Jesus says, I'm here to forgive you, to cleanse you from that unfaithfulness, from that unrighteousness, all our unrighteousness. That's what it says there at the back end of verse 9. God made a way for us to come back to Him when we miss the mark. And that way is through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, the one and only Savior of the world. And so what Jesus desires in our lives is not only to forgive us of our sins, our harmatia, but also to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The word for unrighteousness does not mean we just miss the mark a little bit every once in a while. Unrighteousness means, man, we just miss it regularly. We're regular mark missers. I mean, we're constantly shooting and it ain't hitting the target of righteousness, faithfulness. We miss the mark so much that we're just categorized as a person that rarely ever hits the bullseye. Unrighteousness is almost the exact opposite of faithfulness. It's coming to the point where we just get labeled as unrighteous. We get categorized as a person who's untrustworthy. She's unrighteous. He's unrighteous. There's just not much good in that person. And they're not just missing the mark a little bit. It's as if in their life, they're just totally off the grid when it comes to God. Not even funny, man. Let me just say something. If you're going, that's how I feel. I feel like I'm not just missing the mark. I'm totally off the grid when it comes to God. I've got great news for you. It's never been about your faithfulness. It's always been about His faithfulness being produced in you as you align your life with His. It's God at work in you. It's not just you white-knuckling it through life, just trying to do better, work harder, get up earlier, do more. God's going, knock yourself out. I look forward to that moment when you remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy and rest. And in your rest, you just go, I give up. God goes, good. Now we can get to work. Now we can begin to make tracks. That's what the gospel is all about. It's about God the Father sending His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to live a perfect life, die on a Roman cross, and pay the price for all of our sins, all of our unfaithfulness, all of our unrighteousness, and to rescue us when we feel like we are off the grid, and He brings us back home. He makes sure we're found. And the scripture says that Jesus is faithful to forgive us and to cleanse us and to give us a new start in life. And Jesus patiently is waiting to restore you into a relationship with Him this morning. You can find forgiveness. I really believe there's at least three groups of people who are in this place today listening to this message of hope. The first group is this. Some of you have never, ever put your faith, hope, and trust in Jesus. And you're going, I'd love to do that. I want to do that today. Hang with me just a second. I'm going to give you an opportunity in just a second. There's a second group. Some of you, you've already asked Jesus to be the Lord and Savior of your life. You've already put your faith, hope, and trust in Him. But you've just kind of been wandering away. You've been shooting your arrows and you've just been missing the mark regularly. And this morning, I believe that God's Spirit is just allowing you to hear from Him through His Word going, lean back into who you are. Lean back in to who's inside you, my Holy Spirit. I want to grow something in you that's good and faithful. He loves you. He's never going to give up on you. There's a third group that's here today. Others of you have been walking in faithfulness, but you're tired and you're about ready to give up. And the Holy Spirit's going, don't give up. Don't give up. Lean back in. You're not off the grid, even if you feel like you're off the grid. You're not. You're in His hand. Rest. Re-up this morning. Be restored. Live in Jesus' faithfulness toward you. He loves you. He's not ever going to give up on you. I want to invite everybody to do something right quick so that there's not an awkwardness. Well, everybody's going to see me. Everybody just reach for a Connect card right now on 3, 1, 2, 3. Reach in. Grab your little Connect card. If you're going, man, I'm in that first group. I've never put my faith, hope, and trust in Jesus. I want to do that right now. If that's you, if you've never put your faith, hope, and trust in Jesus, would you just echo a very simple prayer to Him right now? Just right where you're at, just in your heart and mind. You can even whisper it. You can shout it out loud if you want to, but you may just want to, in your heart and mind, go, dear Jesus, I need You. I feel off the grid. I've been unfaithful. Would You forgive me of all my sin? Would You put Your Holy Spirit in me and grow faithfulness in my heart so I can experience it in my life? Hey, man, some of you are sitting there and you're going, I've already done that. I need to lean back in. If that's you, would you just pray this prayer? Dear Jesus, I've missed the mark, but I need to come back into who I am. I know you've forgiven all of my sin, but would you restore my relationship with you and do your work in me again? Others of you need to just pray this. Lord, help me be reminded that it's not me just hanging on. It's you holding me. Help me start fresh again. In your name we pray. Amen. If you prayed that first prayer, would you just fill that little connect card out and just mark, I'd like more information on what it means to be a follower of Jesus. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to make you stand up and, you know, give us your name and tell us where you're from. Just fill that little card out and mark, I'd like more information on what it means to be a follower of Jesus. I'll follow up with you this week and just go, how can I help? How can I help? If you prayed that second or that third prayer, you just let me know. And just write on there your name and put, Pastor, would you just pray that I'd walk closely with Jesus this week? I'll pray for you every day this week if you give me your name and let me know that. I would love nothing more than to pray for you and to pray with you and to help you take that next step and what He wants you to be about in your life. Let me wrap up here as you're filling that little connect card out. A couple of things I want you to make a commitment on. I invite you to make a commitment on when it comes to faithfulness. Number one, we already talked about, make a commitment to God's standard of faithfulness. And then the second decision is this, will you start with what is in front of you? Can we take a second out loud note together on three? One, two, three. Start with what is in front of you. Start with what's in front of you. Don't worry about what you don't have or what you no longer can be faithful to, because either you lost it or you don't have it anymore, or the court took it away from you. Start with what you do have. Start with where you are. Start with what is right in front of you. And start right now. Don't wait till you graduate. Don't wait till you get that thing paid off. Don't wait to be faithful with what's right in front of you. Start today. Start where you're at. Look back with me at that Luke 16:10. I want you to see it. I want you to see it with your own eyes. Look at those first phrases. One who is faithful in very little. What's Jesus saying? Start where you're at. Start where you're at. Start with what's in front of you. And He goes on to say, one who's faithful in very little is also faithful in what? Much. What does that mean? God's going to bring more and more, bigger and bigger, for you to be faithful, trusted, trustworthy over time. Think about it with me just for a second. What it means to be faithful with what's right in front of you. First, just think about your resources. Think about your resources. How are you doing with those things that God has put in your hand? God's given you, provided you with. What are you doing with your money that God's allowing you to have right now in this season of your life? Are you being faithful with what you have? I mean, all of us would probably raise our hand and go, yeah, I could use a little bit more. A little bit more would be good. More would be better right now. God, would you give me a little bit more? See, if you had a little bit more in life, it'd be a little easier. You could do a little bit, have a little bit of margin there. But the question for us today is not how much do we need. The question is, what are we doing with what we have in front of us right now? Are we being faithful with what we have right now? See, if you really hadn't thought about being faithful with what you have right now and you're open for biblical suggestions, we've talked about this before, that 10-10-80 principle, where when you get paid or you receive a check, you put 10% back to God, you put 10% in savings, you live on the 80%. That is a plan for you to be faithful with what you have. That's what we're teaching our kids. They have responsibilities. When they do their responsibilities, 10 $1 bills go down on the table. The first thing they do is they take one and they do what? They give it to God. They take the second one. They bring it back to the banker, which is me, and I put it in their bank account. And then they get to live on the rest. Sometimes they put more in the bank. That's a novel idea. 10, 10, 8. That's what I'm teaching Mike. I'm not inviting you to do anything that we're not doing and that we don't see in Scripture. If you begin to institute that 10, 10, 80 principle, man, I just dare you to test God and see if you don't become faithful with what you have, if He won't trust you with more. Why do I say that? Because that's what Jesus said. If you can be trusted with a little bit, then I know you can be trusted with more. If you can't demonstrate that you can be trusted with a 10, 10, 80 principle, and that's not the only principle, but that's one, why in the world would God trust you with more? And can I just tell you this? God's not in the business of raising money. God's in the business of raising His kids. He's in the business of raising His kids. And that 10, 10, 80 principle we see in Scripture about giving and saving and living within our means. That's what God's looking for in our lives. Maybe you're going, I've kind of got that resources thing down, being faithful there. Green Elephant's really helped me. I'm taking financial peace, and man, that's really helped me. Or I'm communicating well, and that's helping me. So that's not really it. And maybe faithfulness isn't with resources. Maybe it's with responsibility. You're going, oh, I knew you were going to go there. I hope you were going to get by that one, though. No. Some of us are sitting there going, man, we're in a place in life right now, and I think what I have to be responsible for stinks. I'm much more qualified than doing that, and I've got to do that. I went to college for that. I got into debt for that. Are you kidding me? Maybe you're kidding. You're going, man, I'm responsible for taking out the trash, and I hate to take out the trash, or for cleaning up the dog poop. Golly, you know, you're supposed to feed the dog too. What happens when you feed the dog? The dog does that. That's your responsibility. You said you would do it. Now you want a cat. No. It's your responsibility. I don't want to do it. I want bigger responsibilities where I can really allow my influence to be known in this world. I'm going to change the world. Just change out the trash. Jesus is saying, hey, be faithful in the little things. If you're faithful in the little things, you'll show that you're trustworthy to be faithful with more. Just be faithful with the dog you have. Then we'll talk about the cat. Or fish. Wherever you're at in life, I know you want to delegate it to somebody else, but don't delegate it. Do it yourself. It's your responsibility. Be faithful. And God's going, if you'll be faithful with those little things, I'm going to grow in you my fruit of faithfulness. Maybe you're going, it's not really about resources or responsibilities with me. It's really about relationships. Who are the people that God has in your life? What are the little things that you can do in your life right now to show that you love them, to show that you appreciate them, to show that you can encourage them? Maybe it's this little thing like that. When you walk through the door, you click it off and not just put it in your pocket, you put it in the back room and you just have a technology-free zone for a little bit. And that just opens things up. Maybe it's something else. I don't know. Maybe it's a chore around the house, or it's this, or it's that. A little thing that can express, I care about you. I see you. I love you. Not to manipulate your way into trying to get your thing. It's not about dropping a big wad of cash to try to restore all at once. You've been a zero all year, and now you want to be a hero? No. No, it's about those little steps, day in and day out, faithful, faithful, faithful. What are those little things that you can do that are right in front of your grasp that can demonstrate faithfulness right now? And when we step out of this life and we step into the next, I pray that what we hear from the Lord is what He talked about in Matthew 25:21. We've talked about it a couple of times throughout this series, but Jesus says this, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I'm going to set you over much. Check that out. Faithfulness is not just about now, it's about then. and you've been faithful with what's right in front of you now, I'm going to set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Where can you be faithful today? What can you aim at today? God's standard with the things that are right in front of you. Do that, and you'll begin living the life God desires for you to live when it comes to faithfulness. I'm going to invite Emily Kusunoki to come and to wrap our time up. If I can help you take a next step in your faith, I'd love the opportunity to do that. If you haven't yet become a member of Arapahoe Road and you'd like to do that, my next Connect class is happening March the 25th. The information is in your Arapahoe Road today. Fill out one of these little Connect cards just to indicate that you're interested in that. I'd love the opportunity to have a next conversation with you. Why don't you hold your hands out? Let me give you a blessing, then Emily's going to wrap us up. Your God loves you, He's for you, and He's with you. And He wants to produce faithfulness in your life. Aim for His standard and be faithful with what's right in front of you. You're going to be okay. He's got you. Take a next small step with Him and another one tomorrow. And 55 years from now, if you just walk faithful, step by step, all of His goodness, all of His trustworthiness, and all of His faithfulness is how people will think about you. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Bless you.
Thanks, Pastor Dave. So speaking of faithfulness, it kind of reminded me of a question that I had in one of my classes over at seminary. I go to DTS, and I'm in a class called the Gospels, so we're reading the Gospels, obviously, and we're going through Mark. And in Mark, Jesus does a lot of miraculous things. He heals a lot of people, and He heals them from their sicknesses, their if they're paralyzed, he's even brought in a little girl back from the dead. But the question that I had is, after He heals someone, more often than not, He would tell them, don't tell anyone about this. And I thought that was really strange, because doesn't God call us to tell everyone about who He is? Doesn't Jesus want us to tell people about what He's doing for us in our lives? But then I realized, after thinking about it, that it all comes down to faith. And He didn't want the people that He was healing to tell others about how He had healed them, because He didn't want them to believe in Him because of what He was doing. He wanted them to believe in Him because of who He was. It kind of reminded me of a story that my gram told me on the phone this week. I was talking to her, and she was telling me about her friend Kathy. And I had met Kathy once before over Christmas break, and I knew that she went to church and she read the Bible and she loved God. But when I heard this story, I was like, wow, that is a great example of someone who bears faithfulness in their life. She said that Kathy was trying to get her grandson to go to church with her, but her grandson told her, I can't go to church with you, Graham. I have a tattoo. He was like, I can't go. They're going to judge me. They're not going to accept me. They're going to tell me I'm a bad person. And she said, no, like, you have this all wrong. You can go to church with a tattoo. There are people with tattoos there. And he didn't believe her. He said, no, not going to happen. And so Kathy, who is 72 years old, by the way, she goes out and she gets a tattoo. And she didn't get like a little heart sketch. She got a full-blown angel in color on her arm. And she goes back to her grandson and she says, hey, I have a tattoo and I go to church. And so thankfully, her grandson relented and went to church with her that Sunday. And at church, it just so happened that the preacher who was preaching that day, he was wearing a t-shirt and he had a tattoo on his arm. And so her grandson, when they were leaving that Sunday, he said to her, you know what? I'm going to come back. I'll be back next week or however long he decides to go to church. And I thought that was pretty amazing, but the thing that really struck me is when my grandma was telling me this story is that Kathy went over to my grandma's place to kind of show off her new tattoo. And in shock, my grandma said, "Kathy, what were you going to do if he still didn't want to go to church with you?" And she said, "Oh, well, like I did my part." And I thought this was a great example of faithfulness because she wasn't afraid of taking a risk because she knew who God was. She knew how powerful God was. And just like the story in Mark with the woman who bled for 12 years and no doctor could heal her, no amount of money could help her, when she heard about Jesus, she thought, "He's the Son of God. He is the only one who can heal me. He can heal me." And all she had to do was touch the edge of his robe, and she was healed. He didn't even realize that he'd healed her. That's all she had to do. And she didn't go into that situation thinking, "Oh, if he's God, he'll heal me. Or if he heals me, then I'll believe him. Then I'll believe that he's God." She knew who he was. She believed he was who he said he was. And that's the type of faithfulness that we're called to bear in our own lives.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Feel free to distribute this recording, but please do not sell or alter it in any way. For more information about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, please visit our church website at arapahoeroad.org. Arapahoe Road Baptist Church is located at 2256 Arapahoe Road in Garland, Texas, with Sunday morning services at 9:30 a.m. Feel free to join us this week.